Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, Iron Fist fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Iron Fist After Show. We are looking at episodes 7 and 8, Felling Tree with Roots and The Blessing of Many Fractures. And we'll see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I was not kidding about the episode titles being hipster autocorrect poetry.
Is that what you said?
Yes! I mean, it kind of, the blessing of many fractures. And if you keep going, it starts talking about dogs and coffee.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, sounds right.
I mean, that's something carried over from the comics, where with the Immortal Iron Fist reboot, they would do this really interesting thing where they'd like zoom in on the panel and it would show like the bone that Danny was breaking on the guy he was punching, and it would say like blessing of many fractures underneath. Like that was the move that Danny was doing because he was good at kung fu.
Yeah, I know they're all named after martial arts moves. I just like to see those martial arts moves. And we feel like we're going to start every show that same way, talking about the title and being like, I'd love to see it in action, but here we are back again. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Iron Fist After Show. We are looking at episodes 7 and 8, Hipster Poetry and Autocorrect Blues, Felling Tree with Roots, and The Blessing of Many Fractures. Mike Kalinowski will be with us in just a little bit, so he'll be here soon. In the meantime, we have Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? I'm Jesse Klein. I'm very excited to talk to you about Iron Fist. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Well, I'd hope you're excited to talk about Iron Fist, because guess what we're doing tonight? Yeah? Lucretia Lyon.
Hey, guys. Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. We do have a Twitter hashtag, ABTV Iron Fist. We also have a live chat where you can watch us live on YouTube. So if you have something to say, if you have questions or comments or just something pithy, throw in the hashtag, throw it in the live chat. You may well get a shout out. The business side is just the best parts of these episodes.
I really enjoy the business side.
They have the best writing. Let's talk about Harold.
Okay,
I feel like we should start this off with talking about Harold, because Harold has shuffled off this mortal coil for the second time.
Yeah, I love the opening of him in his hermetically sealed chamber and the hand on the glass. I was like, oh man, the hand feels really menacing. As long as it is to Harold. Like they seem really menacing. And that was a really great opening. It was like, oh, yeah, he was scared.
Just that moment upset. Of, oh, no, and then yanking him out of the tube like that. My Netflix was having a hell of a time buffering while I was watching that.
Sure.
I know I lost some of the effect there, but it was still just like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
It was ruining his little relaxation time there. You know?
Yeah. Well, and we have these two Iron Fist thugs that are basically like, look, you screwed up. We do forgive mistakes and being stupid, but only after some punishment so you remember being stupid and don't do it again. Okay? Okay. And in the middle of him insisting, I don't know anything about the Iron Fist. I don't know anything about... And I love that it's, what's the Iron Fist? It sounds like a sex toy. And I'm like, we were making boner jokes two after shows ago.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, chat, for yours as well.
For the boners and jokes, yes. Lots and of right in the middle of, I have nothing to do with the Iron Fist, Danny walks in.
The most subtle superhero in the world.
It's one of those comedic timing things. Yeah. And I'm like, suddenly this episode is great. It's already made me laugh out loud twice. I can appreciate that.
And then Danny proceeds to get beat up by one of these thugs while Harold just murks
the other one with a hammer.
With a knife.
With a knife, yeah. That's right.
And then like Danny finally gets free of the other one. Harold comes up and just slices his throat. Really heroic actions.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Well, and I do love that is it right to kill someone? Is it right to take a life? Is a running conversation throughout these two episodes, especially in terms of how are we going to deal with Madame Gao? She may or may not have killed my parents. Are we just going to completely wreck her? Do we want to try and get her to face trial? Will that even happen?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of liked not going in with a plan because at least it's in line with the Danny that we've had for this entire season.
Yeah. Yeah, it made sense. I think seeing Harold just be like, all right, we killed these guys, time to clean up the bodies. Like,
and just go Ward.
Just go right into business. Oh, poor Ward.
I feel so bad for Ward. And you can see that he's been in this abusive relationship with his father, not only for years, but probably for his entire life.
Well, yeah, he said the greatest day of his life was the day he died.
Yeah, I loved that. That was so dark.
Yeah.
And just the writing around the Meacham family is very, very solid because it feels like we have more telling with Danny and we have more showing with the Meachams.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And just when Ward shows up and his dad's just like hacking away at the bodies with a hammer.
A hammer. We have to destroy the teeth so they can't identify them.
Yeah. Like, and Ward's response is the correct one. Like, I'm tired of watching shows when someone walks in on something like this and like, oh, gross. Anyway, let's talk about business. Like, Ward's response is like, he needs to throw up. He goes to a trash can. His dad's finger is in the trash can. He like, chokes it down.
And then we need to call the police.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for having all of the correct, well-socialized responses.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, he is, you know, of high society. You have to be polite. You got to puke in the can when you see dead bodies. You have to call the cops.
Yeah,
know?
Sure.
Yeah, that's just their rules. But my favorite moment was when Harold's like, yeah, help me clean up. I used to take you hunting. It's just the same thing. And he's like, that was Joy. So it's just crush.
And I love that, one, Joy went hunting with her dad. Like, Joy went deer hunting with her dad, and she owns a pit bull.
Yeah.
I love this woman. And two, it's one of those show not tell moments that's extremely indicative of Harold's character of, I don't remember which child I took hunting. I put these expectations on my son and I expect him to obey me unquestioningly. I made him. He belongs to me. Like, and that is some creepy abuser stuff.
And luckily he snapped.
And like the thing where it's like Ward says, we should call someone. He said, I did call someone. I called you. You take care of this.
It's like, I did not ask for this. I was just your hand in the business. I was not supposed to. And I'm amazed that he managed to dump bodies, three bodies, over two trips.
Yeah.
And no one caught him and no one said anything. What I want, and what I don't think is going to happen, because this series so far has not been terribly good at picking up its pieces, is for Harold Meacham's unweighted, undisfigured body to be pulled out of the river later on, and people go, what the hell? This is Harold Meacham. He's been dead for a decade.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And I don't think it's going to happen, because sadly, I don't have that much faith in this series right now, but I really, really want that.
This belongs in predictions, but I don't think we're done with Harold. I don't think the hand is done with Harold. I think they'll know.
I think they're gonna dredge him up and have a Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're gonna have the Lady Stoneheart of Iron Fist.
Yeah, I mean, he still owes the hand like a debt of servitude, and the hand aren't really good at relieving their debts. So I'm sure they're going to drag him up and resurrect him again.
But he was also starting to be rebellious.
Sure.
And against them, and I think they understood that.
Or dying has reminded him how much he owes them. Again.
Yeah. Or I could see them going after Ward and Joy because, you know, the sins of the father.
Sure, could go after Ward and Joy.
Although Zombie Harold would be fun.
Yeah.
I like some of the comments here in the chat.
Re-Zombie Harold.
Yeah, re-Zombie Harold.
Zombie twice.
Havoc 6280 says Ward needs a hug and better drugs. And
no,
Ghost
hugs,
eight
not drugs.
Ghost 8386 says Harold's an odd mofo.
Oh,
I like that.
Ghost.
Yeah.
That's a really good way to put it. Like, he's just odd. He's not terrifying and homicidal and wrapped up in a whole bunch of things he shouldn't be wrapped up in and an awful human being. No, he's just odd.
He was talking to a body that didn't have a tongue previously. I love that, that the body that was talking to him was the one that in life could not speak. He's like, yeah, I know this is screwed up. I know.
Poor Ward.
Yeah.
Let's shift a little bit and let's talk about like son. This, yeah. I feel so bad for him. Yeah. He's obviously in withdrawal. And yeah. He's doing his best to get out of this situation. Yeah. And it's just not happening.
Well, yeah, we see that where he tries to book, like he checks his personal account. He's like, got plenty of money. And he tries to get away. He tries to buy a plane ticket and get the heck out. As you normally would after you had been asked to bury or drown bodies in a lake. Like, you'd probably want to get away.
Well, and we saw a little bit before that of, you know, he's checking Central American destinations and he's basically looking to take a lot of money and disappear.
Yeah.
And so...
A lot of stolen money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know was stolen. I was just kind of sitting there going, $25 million in his bank account? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the upper echelons of business people. I'm sure he's worth at least that much.
I bet on the books he is worth at least that much, but I think the $25 million, I think, as Harold says, was like a separate account that he'd been like skimming money and keeping for a rainy day when he needed an off-the-books escape, which he did, and then it was $0.
Well, and him trying just so hard to get out of this abusive relationship and finally just hitting the point of, this is no longer working, I can't do this, and trying to take a step to get himself out of it and just absolutely getting wrecked by his dad.
Yeah.
It's like, well, embezzling was your little hobby, and who do you think was keeping the accountants from seeing this? And then, again, I made you, you belong to me. It's all just like, nope, 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 nope.
And
nope.
Knife ex machina.
Well, and as long as Harold's alive, Ward is trapped.
Yeah.
That's the long and very short of it.
I love that moment where he's looking up plane tickets and Joy walks in and immediately hides it. And then Joy basically says, like, you should probably disappear for a little bit.
She's and, like, you should take a break. You can go someplace nice and discreet.
Yeah.
And she's absolutely talking about
rehab.
You need help.
Yeah. But it's great that like they're both on the same page. Like both of them agree Ward should not be here right now.
Same page, different books.
Yeah, exactly. And like you see that moment where Ward is like, yes, I should go somewhere. Like, 100% agreeing with her.
Like, you're absolutely right. Central America is very discreet this time of year.
I hear they have great rehab facilities.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And then just losing it on his dad and stabbing the hell out of him. Yeah. Like a dozen times.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That knife
is a crime of passion.
That knife was really clean after he'd killed people with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just watching that happen.
Those waspy manners.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, watching that happen, watching him absolutely lose his noise all over his dad and finally be like, I'm free. Oh, crap. And dragging dad down to the river and just kind of.
Yeah, and I love the deception he has because Danny goes up and finds the bloodstain of Harold. And Danny immediately thinks, because on his side of the story, he's confronting the hand and doing all the stuff to piss them off. He immediately thinks that this was like a retaliation from the hand.
And Madame Gao has made it very clear, I know who your friends are. I know who you care about.
Yeah. And so when Ward shows up and sees Danny there, Ward does a really good, just really confuses Danny. Danny's very dumb.
He's naive. Yeah. He truly is.
Bless his heart.
And let's be real, a lot of what has happened is his fault. And he's finally, like, there are consequences for his actions. And that's finally starting to sink in, especially with Radovan's death.
Yeah, for sure. But him just being like, I don't know, what are you talking about? I was here to see my dad. What are you talking about, the hand?
This is your fault.
Yeah.
Run away, Simba, and never return.
Basically, it was a runaway Simba moment. And he does, to China.
Good Lord. Just this weird little road trip to China.
This is skipping ahead, but I nerded out with the private plane, because the new Avengers, when Danny was on them, They use that private plane all the time because they weren't, because it's not like they're like Stark and Captain America. They're just all these street level people. So they don't have like a Quinjet. So they just use Danny's private plane to just fly around the world.
Well, and I think the scenes in the plane were some of the best scenes in that episode, because this is what makes Danny very human.
Sure.
We're not looking at the, he's a rich entitled white guy and he's not the best martial artist we've ever seen in our lives. And we're not looking at him and going, here's what you need to be. Here's where you are. What's wrong? We're going, we're actually going to address the trauma that the series is built on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about the iPod that he's had for 15 years.
Yeah.
Talking about him being freaked out over turbulence in the plane and Claire making him talk through it.
Just
this whole sequence I loved.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is this is, again, one of those scenes that I really like, much like, say, last week with his takeout with Colleen, is this is making Danny a person and more likable, and we're seeing stuff instead of being told. That's what I liked, is having him have that. Because, if he died in a plane crash, and this is probably the first time he's flown, I don't know, he's would freak out, and that's the thing. And but we have some great comments here in the chat to ruin this nice moment here.
Go
Peter Watson says, hashtag dumb doodle.
Oh.
Havoc6280 says, when he laughs, he is a snickerdoodle.
That was amazing.
Right.
Give us your best doodle puns.
It's like, oh, let's ruin this nice moment with these nice comments here.
Why would we not?
I know.
I mean, I like those moments. There were also, when we get to a story, that there are also some moments in, like, the post-coitus Danny where it was him talking about, or no, this was pre-coitus, when he was talking about Kunlun and about how it wasn't necessarily the greatest place in the world. I was like, yeah, talk about that some more. And we also got a Davos the Thunder call-out, which I hope he's in this show. I would love to see Davos.
No spoilers, y'all.
Spoilers, please, if he's in there. But if he is, then, like, just privately freak out with your friends that I am excited that he exists. And if he isn't, then we all feel sad forever.
Do we really, though? I feel like escaping this version of Iron Fist is escaping intact.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a terribly cruel thing to say about the series. I mean, it really is, but it's also like, you're getting an adaptation of something you really appreciate, and then you look at the way the characters are adapted, and you kind of go, okay.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I think they did, I think in these two episodes, they did 10 times the work they have in previous episodes for making Danny an understandable character. Yeah. Like, it's like, okay, I get it. He's still a little boy, and that's why he acts the way he does. And it's like, that would have been great if we'd seen that in episode one. Like, if we'd seen that he's still just an 8-year-old boy in episode one, then it would have been like, oh, that's why he's a prick. But instead, we're seeing it now.
And I mean, I'm going back to things with Big Al in episode one and him being very compassionate and trying to teach Danny things, and the, what is the internet? Well, I can access it on my phone. Oh my God, phones come this small and have screens now? Holy cow. Like, more fish out of water stuff.
Yeah.
Just, I can see why people like these latter episodes so much more, because it makes Danny more human.
For sure.
And less horrifying. Like, if we'd had this set in place before the whole I bought your building thing, that would have been far less egregious. But I bought your building, to me, was like, Kill Bill sirens were going
on. But it makes the I bought your building and the meal thing better in hindsight now, just because it's like, an 8-year-old who wanted to impress a girl and had billions of dollars would 100% buy her building and then like flex in the middle of it and be like, don't you like me, I bought your building, and like,
now you're rent free.
Yeah. And like, I got you all the food, even though you didn't ask me for it, is like, it's something an 8-year-old would 100% do.
And this is the only way he knows how to do takeout, because it was his dad's favorite restaurant. So obviously they got catering from it more than once.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when you're rich, you make the food come to you.
Exactly.
Or you're just lazy and, you know, delivery's gotten cheaper.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a difference between getting Postmates and getting them to come cater bring the chafing dishes and the table themselves and just literally everything. Like, how much money do you have to throw at them for that to happen?
But so I really appreciate the character work they did with Danny in this episode.
Yeah.
Don't appreciate any of Danny's fights ever.
I mean, we can talk a little bit about Zhou Chen.
Well, Peter Watson actually had a good comment, basically what you said. This episode really shows an emotional growth for Danny more than any of the other episodes that have aired so far. We really get to see what it's like being inside his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have gotten that way before the halfway point of the series.
And I'm not saying show all of it in the first episode, but at least hint at it and let us know where the character's coming from. Because until this episode, for me at least, Danny has been really unlikable. Like, just not a very likable character. And has nothing to do with even, like, the race issue that we all have or any of that. It just has to do with how they've been writing him and how they've set him up. And if I'd known going in, like, the way they're doing Kunlun, because I'm a fan of the comics. When Danny came back from Kunlun in the comics, he was not this. He was a human being and not an 8-year-old. So yeah. I assumed that's what we were getting this time as well. And until this episode, we didn't really see that's where he's coming from. We just saw him acting that way, but not any reason why.
Well, and this is also when we're getting into his flaws, because we've had so much. He is a nice guy, and he's supposed to be the world's best martial artist, but he's not quite there yet. It's like his flaws are that he's clumsy. God damn it, not another stupid flaw.
Yeah.
And now we're getting into he has this trauma that he's never really addressed or been over. He's inexperienced. He doesn't. It's not like he's cute and doesn't know what he's doing. It's, oh no, this is an actual honest-to-God problem. He doesn't know how to plan to approach a problem.
No.
He's terrified of turbulence. He has rage issues, obviously.
Yeah.
And we're actually getting into things that make him a well-rounded character and not just, you're supposed to like him, here's a superficial flaw, because nobody's perfect, LOL. It's like if Bella Swan could fight.
Yeah.
And now we're getting into actual, like, I keep comparing it to Sword Art Online because this is where my brain goes. We spent 2 seasons with our protagonist being the perfect human being, and in season 3, it's like, remember all those people you killed? You're going to have to deal with that now.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly he's a human being and it's the best season of SAO that exists. And it took that long to be like, oh, you know what? He's probably really traumatized from all the stuff he's been through. He should deal with that.
Yeah.
So we're finally hitting that with Danny. And I'm so glad that we are. Because it makes me want to hit him in the face less.
Yeah.
I still think I could hit him in the face, mind you. Which is not a good thing.
It also means Colleen's a bit of a monster because she took advantage of an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah, that's where I thought it was going. Colleen's a perv, guys.
Oh, like, God. Where did this relationship come from? Did I miss 3 episodes?
Oh, don't you know that when a woman heals a guy, like when a guy has been hurt and then a woman then like heals him somehow, then immediately they get to have sex?
That's every season of Arrow.
That's the rule. That's the rule of TV.
Sex and Arrow doesn't follow rules. It just does whatever the hell they want.
That's the rule of TV, though.
Yeah.
It's the nurse. Well, there's a name for it. The
healing sex.
Nightingale.
Nightingale. Because there was no chemistry between them, but then she's like dabbing blood off of his chest, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, is she into him? Why is she into him?
I don't, it's like, oh, I saw him fight and he fights like crazy and it's great and it's such a great spectacle, and I'm like, yeah, I'm really impressed by watching competent people too, but how did you get that from Danny? It came from this person disrespecting her rules, nearly stalking her, pulling her into all of these problems that he has.
She doesn't have insight
to him the way the audience did earlier, and she didn't get the insight that the audience got until episode 8, until after this happens. But suddenly it's like, I'm impressed with him. Let's have sex.
Girls love a bad boy.
Yeah, and that's
in media. They do.
Yeah. Okay, but there's a bad boy, and then there's an actual bad boy.
Yeah, he is.
And he's kind of the latter.
Yeah.
And this is the plot to every romantic comedy, so.
That's true.
And this is why romantic comedies are terrible.
But, so we see Danny, lose his V-card. And it's.
He took a vow of chastity.
And in my opinion, I think that scene was way too long.
Oh, my God, yes. He should have been done after, like, 30 seconds.
When she took her shirt off, he should have been done.
I would have laughed. He can only summon the Iron Fist once a day. It depletes his chi.
I would have laughed so much if she took her shirt off and Danny was just like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then, like, the rest of the scene was just him talking about, like, his parents dying.
Like, more realistic sex scenes in the world that we've set up.
Well, some of us like a sad guy, so.
Yeah, but there's no way he was any good. Yeah.
I was like,
they don't train for that in Cunlun.
Let's no quote they... this. There's no way he was any good. Katie Cullen, Iron Fist after show.
I was like, at first I was like, oh, she's on top. Put that on I was like, shirt. That makes sense. Because he doesn't know what he's doing. She's on top. I assume that she has a healthy sexual life. I was like, this is great. She's going to show him how to do it. And then he flipped her over, and I was like, nah, I don't believe that.
No, there's no way.
I don't believe a virgin who has been completely away from all types of media, so I was like, never seen a sex scene before.
No, the
like,
Kama Sutra.
No. I don't think that's from India. That's in India.
Well, I apologize. Yeah.
Know your sex books, huh?
The art of sex war.
The art of war sex.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't believe it. I don't believe this guy. I don't believe it.
Can we all just
Can I even repeat this on the air?
Yes.
Yep. All right. Havoc 6280. Danny Iron Fisted her. That was the best comment. Because most of these are about how Claire sleeps with all the Marvel people except Jessica Jones. But now we want that, apparently. I like your dirty minds in here, guys.
Oh, yeah. I'd be down for Claire and Jessica. Are you kidding?
Yeah, because she's got to do all of the Defenders. Hashtag she has to do power Danny couple. And she has to do Jessica.
She has to get the full house.
Power yeah. couple. Well, come on. Yep. Can we talk about how Joy hired Jessica Jones?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
fantastic.
I think that was my favorite throwaway reference so far in pretty much the entire season.
And we also got a Karen Page reference as well.
We did.
I said her name weird. Karen Page. We also got a Karen Page reference as well, where Danny informs her with that part of his story that...
back to business.
Yeah.
We talked about terrible sex. Back to business.
In the business world, he informs her that he's shutting down the plant until there's further investigations, and then goes into the board and lets them know. And like he leaked the story to Karen Page first. Which, yeah. like, again, yeah. Danny getting good at business.
Yeah, and then just the whole, oh, by the way, the assistants don't have their dental plan, so we should get back on
yeah.
that. Like, wow.
What?
Again, Danny was likable.
I like Megan the assistant, and it doesn't look like we'll be seeing much more of her, at least not until we get someone that we care about back in Rand Enterprises.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad, because I enjoyed the hell out of...
I thought Karen was great, yeah.
Yeah, Megan the assistant.
Or Megan, sorry. Also Karen Page is fantastic.
Basically yes, all the female characters Karen. In this show are just like, yes, good, I love everyone in this bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that essentially gets... Danny and Joy and Ward ousted from the board.
Like, yeah.
We held an emergency meeting and we're firing you all because, well, he's losing us money. Never mind that the company's PR is just through the freaking roof.
Well, they're firing both Ward and Joy and then they're removing Danny from the board.
Yeah,
because they can't technically fire him. Yeah.
Because they never gave him a job. Yeah.
Yeah. He never officially had a job title, so we don't have to offer him severance. I'm like, yeah, but doesn't he still own 51% of the company?
Yeah. How does this work? I don't know enough about businesses to know. But since he owns the majority of the company, I feel like he still has some sort of say in how the company works.
You would think.
Unless there's like some sort of clause in where it's like if all of the members vote against or something like that, or they try and buy out his stock. I don't know. I'm not a business guy. I'm a guy who reads too many comic books.
Yeah, I'm kind of Princess Unikitty in terms of levels of business.
Yeah.
Business, numbers.
But I did like the deal that they gave him where both of them had to sign it. And I love that moment where Ward's like, do you have a pen?
Yeah.
I didn't think a pencil would be legally binding. And Joy's just like, what the hell is happening?
We have to talk about
it. Do you think Joy's speech where she talks about how she looked up to Ward, do you think that's true?
Yes.
Or do you think that's Joy being very good at manipulating people?
I legitimately think that that's true. And I mean, part of it is Ward was doing a lot of what Dad said to do, and Dad had a little bit of a bigger picture, especially with being in the hand's pocket, if you will. It's so hard to have sentences with the hand in it, because it's just like puns. Unintentionally, yes. But being in the hand's pocket and having that extra information and basically having Dad, who ran the company for a chunk of time, say, hey, you need to do X, Y, Z, and Theta. So Ward fighting for we need to do this, we need to do that, is basically saying we need to do what Dad says, but no one can know that Dad's alive. So he knows that his business acumen and that all of the decisions he's been making are pretty much a lie. She doesn't. And she thinks that he's just ridiculously super good at this company. And she, whereas his has all been Dad helping him, and she's had to work her ass off.
Yeah.
And she's also very, very good at business.
I kind of interpreted it as she's the one that Dad took hunting. She's manipulating Ward. Like, I kind of interpreted it as she didn't mean a single word she said to him. She sees that this asset of hers is spiraling downward, and she needs to bring it back up, and she's just saying whatever she could to bring him back around.
You really do think she's a villain, don't you?
I don't know if
she's a villain, but I know that she is a high-level lawyer, and I don't know any high-level lawyers that don't do everything they can to manipulate a situation like that, especially in these TV shows. We've seen with, like, Hogarth, and even with Daredevil and Foggy, like, they're really good at manipulating situations as well, and like getting people to say things that they need them to say.
But the difference is Ward is her only family and has been for well on a decade at this point. And, like, that is a huge, huge soft spot.
Yeah.
And that's from pre-lawyer days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I think that I don't think she would steer him the wrong way to hurt him, but she's doing what she thinks is best for both of them.
Yeah.
That is one thing I see, is like Joy to me is the more manipulative one, the one that is more like their father, but at the same time she does love and care about Ward, but that doesn't mean she won't manipulate him.
Yeah.
Well, and she also has a heart about things. Like, she's able to do the meeting with the cancer patients, but walks away from it kind of going, okay, that was not easy.
Yeah.
Like, she does still give a damn.
Yeah.
She does. But
I loved her hiring the PI. I loved, we don't have a legal loophole. Wow. We have a legal loophole.
# legal loophole.
That's my Hootie and the Blowfish cover band.
Fantastic.
We have blackmail. Like, everyone on the board is either screwing the company or screwing someone who isn't their spouse.
Yeah.
And I love that she's got this blackmail folder that she got it from Jessica Jones, who was worth every penny when she was sober. Like, bless. And that's how everyone knew it was Jessica Jones.
Yep.
They referenced all of them in this episode, really. Yeah. I mean, because we got Luke Cage with Claire's letter.
We got the Devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Just the Devil of Hell's Kitchen, the man with unbreakable skin. It's like, I love that whenever they're going through these great, big, crazy things are happening, they don't ever mention Jessica. And so I'm kind of waiting for her to be a dark horse in terms of movers and shakers.
Because
we know we're facing Madame Gao again in the Defenders, which means that Danny can't do his damn job. So that's part of why I'm disappointed in knowing that.
Yeah.
I like that we see Danny's second mutation in this episode as well, where he's really good at elevators. when Gao is in the building in Rand, we see that she has like a Rand card, and his has been there, that the Vipers are there, the three women who are selling the heroin, and that Danny then, like, instead of, it's his building, he could have used another elevator. He could have seen where they went on the elevator, because like an elevator shows where things are stopping, but instead he decides to pry open the elevator doors, iron fist his hand, which that's your one. You don't know if you're go. You don't know if you're going into a fight. Like, you don't know what's about to happen. If he dropped down and like the two bodyguards decided to fight him, he wouldn't have had his iron fist because he used it to go down the elevator cord.
You really don't want to iron fist in an elevator anyway. You know, there is not enough space,
especially if there are cameras. And and he rappels down and sees that Madame Gao has a floor in his building. The 13th floor is her floor.
And I love that because in a lot of buildings, the 13th floor doesn't exist because it's bad luck. In China, it's the 4th floor because their word for 4 is also their word for death.
Sure.
And so they tend to skip the 4th floor. But in America, a lot of 13th floors don't exist because it's terrible luck. Mm. So the fact that she has her enterprises on the 13th floor just made me really happy.
And then Danny goes to war. Like, this is an interesting episode for Danny because he's really on the offensive here.
I do love the compassion for this woman where it's like, oh, you're afraid. All right, well, you're going to give me your password, and then you're going to get the hell out of Dodge, and I'm going to make sure they can't find you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, her head's going to be on a pike later on, right?
Probably.
Like, but then again, that's expecting this series to grab all of its loose ends, and Harold Meacham floating in the stream is also a loose end, and I don't have a lot of hope for that one.
I like how Danny thought he could beat Madame Gao.
Like, after she wrecked him last episode.
After she force-pushed him in the last episode.
Pretty much.
Like, and he's there like, I'm going to stop you. And she's like, your employees wouldn't want to see you beat up an old lady. It's like, well, we both know that it'll be, your employees don't want to see you get beat up by an old lady.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really think she'd go with the act to make him look terrible.
Yeah.
Like, she's good. She knows her stuff.
And then they go to China. They team up with the Hatchet guys, right?
I love the fact that they teamed up with the Hatchet men. Like, look, I know what's in store for you. They fear me. Do they? Do they really? And if you team up with me, they'll fear you. And I'm like, that is a really good sales pitch. It's a lie, but it's a great sales pitch. And it works up until the point where they find a dying Radovan, and he tells them, yeah, I gave up the formula, I'm sorry. It just kind of collapses. Oh. And they're going to China. Bye.
Says the name of the city that his family was going to.
Ancho,
when they crashed the first time. Mm-hmm. So Danny has to fly an airplane back to the city that the last airplane flight he went to the city, it killed his family.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about earlier with the really good scene with the turbulence and the facing your fears and having to talk through things. Like, I appreciated the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the best scenes for Danny because we're getting stuff that we would have expected. And I think that's the good part there.
We also got this. It's one of my biggest pet peeves, and I'm upset that it happened with Claire. But she was like, don't go. This is obviously a trap. Mm-hmm. You're going to die. She was like, don't do it. I've seen people fight the hand before, and it didn't turn out well for them.
Yeah.
People died. Her friend died. And, like, you know, Daredevil got the crap beat out of him. Elektra died. Like, all this stuff. And spoilers for Daredevil Season 2, if you haven't seen it, I apologize. But she says that, and then Danny's like, no, I have to. This is what I have to do. And then Claire's immediately like, well, I'm going to. Like, I was like, but you just said,
don't do this or you'll die.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those things where, all right, well, they might die if I'm not there. And if I'm there to give them medical attention, maybe they'll survive longer.
And it turns out that she's better at beating up hand thugs than Danny is. So they needed her.
I did love the being in the car, flipping the guy off, and driving off.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah,
Claire is straight up street. I like that.
She's so cool.
Yeah. She's wonderful, and I adore her.
And then we get an awesome fight between Colleen and, I assume, her stunt double.
I don't know, but I love seeing the two different models of the swords, the different
katana,
sword styles. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It didn't last long enough, but it was beautiful.
It was really cool. And then we get the most charismatic new character we've seen. Like,
Shou Chen. Oh.
This was a real bummer because he was awesome.
Yeah,
he
was like Legend of Drunken Master over there. That was pretty cool. Like,
he was on the docket to be Iron Fist. He was on the short list, and it didn't happen. And I'm just watching it going, okay, so this is the fight that everyone said is the best fight in the series so far.
Yeah.
I can see that. I love Drunken Fist. I've seen it in real life before. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. We could have had it all, you guys. We could have had an Iron Fist who knew martial arts.
It would have been really nice to have an Iron Fist that was good at Kung Fu. And seeing
a martial artist who was also an actor.
Seeing this also made me a little sad, because a lot of the times in martial arts films, it's fine if the character is losing. But there's always the turning point where the character starts to read, like, especially with, like, Drunken Fist stuff, where, like, they realize that if they can sober them up in the fight, that they can somehow beat them. And when the character is good at martial arts, they can tell that story through their actions.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's just not, he's not that good enough martial artist, so he can't tell stories with his body the way that, like, say, Jackie Chan could, or even, what was his name?
Zhou Chen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Zhou Chen was telling a great story.
And I loved him using the gourd as an extension of his really body, cool. Using
amazing.
It for that extra reach.
Yeah.
And then having extras just in case. Like, all of that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Being like, we're different, we're a dichotomy, I am the sworn defender of the hand, we both swore an oath, but I'm fulfilling mine, and you wear yours like a mask.
Yeah.
It's like, what, did you just cue the Brooklyn mm-hmm. Rage, and that's what helped him win the fight? Like, is that what we're going for?
Brooklyn Rage.
Well, there was like this, he had this really interesting line, and I'm going to butcher it, but he says, like,
go fight when?
Your master's, or, like, your master encouraged you to release what's inside you. My master encourages me to keep it in. Because that's what and it was not that line. Everyone in the chat, please correct me a million times. But I thought that line was really good, and it also kind of explained that character. I wish that character was just Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, again, because of what we know about casting and all of that, it is just straight up, we could have had it all. And that's just like, it added an air to me of sadness watching this fight. Because it's like, I appreciate this.
And he was so much fun, and he was so good and charismatic.
And now he's probably super dead, because there's no way he got medical attention.
Well, yeah, and then it ends with Danny just ground and pounding him, beating the crap out of him. And I was watching it, and I was like, who do the writers want me to root for? I don't know, and that happens a lot in this series, is I'm not exactly sure how the writers want me to feel about Danny, because I'm not rooting for him when he's fighting this awesome character, and, like, I'm not rooting for him when he beats the awesome character. He then continues to beat the crap out of him. Like, it was a heel or taking a bigger heel turn. Like he was already a heel. He 360s, still a heel.
Yeah. I'm just so glad that there's a show like this where there's other people that are rooting for the villains now instead of just me. I'm always the one, you know, on Arrow. I'm always like, no, Prometheus is way cooler, guys. Malcolm Merlyn. Screw Oliver Queen, but now everyone feels that way on this show.
Well, it's hard to say, yeah, I want the villains to win, but it's like, the villains are more interesting to watch. And at this point, I wouldn't even say the villains are more interesting to watch. The business side of things is the most interesting to watch. It's like, the martial arts are happening, we're going, okay, there's a fight, it's happening, and then the business things are happening, it's like, tell me more. This is a wonderful drama.
This is from someone who has a Kill Bill lunchbox with a thermos and everything. I love Kung Fu, people.
Is it tin?
Well, yeah.
Is it
yes,
tin?
It is.
It would be fantastic if in the show we got to see two Kung Fu fighters fight. But we have a guy who has 3 weeks of training, and some of these fight scenes are 15 minutes choreographed 15 minutes before. And it's like, that's your selling point on Danny. And we were talking about it in the chat, and it's like, I don't believe Danny could beat Daredevil in this universe.
No.
Danny might be better at Kung Fu, but Daredevil is way better at fighting.
Yeah.
Like, Daredevil's beaten, like, entire hallways full of men easily.
Quite literally hallways, everyone's like, oh, yeah, the hallway. Flashing back to fights in other series and going, man, that was great.
Danny's getting snuck up on by a guy in a lab who has brass knuckles. and or just fighting a random hand guy who beats the crap out of him and, like, throws something at him. And it's like, I really wish that they'd realize that the Kung Fu Master character should be good at Kung Fu. Yeah.
Well, and again, I think that they're just doing this series as we need to have Iron Fist established before we go into the Defenders, because the Defenders is the big thing we're working on. And sadly, Iron Fist is kind of the Incredible Hulk of this part of the franchise. Like, we needed the movie. It wasn't great, but it's there, and we've established the Hulk, and here's your backstory. And for other people, it's like, oh, the Iron Man 2, or oh, the Thor. Like, I like Iron Man 2 and Thor. I did not like Hulk. So insert Marvel movie in Phase 1 that you didn't like here. Unless it's Captain America, in which case you're wrong.
Yeah, I totally agree. You were just wrong.
You're incorrect. I think they really dropped the ball. I think they really could have connected this. They could have made Iron Fist about the magic world, the world of magic, because that's what his character is about, and like made Madame Gao really more mystic and scary that way, the way they did in Daredevil Season 2 with the hand. And instead, because of their talent, they had to redo a lot of what the story could have been, because they just didn't have a guy who was good at kung fu.
Had a guy that was good at kung fu. Yeah, they chose not to go with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that to me is the problem, that this, we have to do it. We have to get this established. Here it is. We're painting by numbers, but we're missing the point, because painting by numbers isn't art.
Well, and two, like you said, they could have brought in more of the mystical elements, and that would have at least helped with the kung fu not being up to par, but I don't know why they left a lot of that out, because that's usually my favorite thing. I'm all about Doctor Strange and magic. I mean, if you're playing the drinking game at home, kids, John Constantine is my favorite character.
But it's like, nobody watches this stuff for mysticism, and I'm like, well, Daredevil Season 2 was criticized because of the black sky. Well, nobody understood what the hell black sky was, and it wasn't established. We weren't criticizing it because there was mysticism. We were criticizing it because it didn't make a lick of sense.
And
we like mysticism. I am down.
And they put all these limitations on the Iron Fist. Like, there should have been 4 fights already where he punches a guy in full armor and the guy goes flying across the room, or punches a tank, or punches, like, so far all he's done is redecorate a bunch with the Iron Fist.
And maybe his Iron Fist
construction company.
Yeah. He's really into interior design.
And it's like, we haven't seen him fight someone with the Iron Fist. We've seen him defend himself with it, but he's never fought anyone with the Iron Fist. It's like,
he just takes it out on the architecture.
There should have been a hallway full of ninjas that he punched. He punched one and all of them got hit. Like, that should have been a scene. You should establish how powerful this is, how cool it is. Number one, I'm upset that the Iron Fist doesn't make a noise. There should be, like, a low hum of, like, this is super powerful. And, like, instead it just...
It's disrupting the air around it.
Yeah, like, instead it's just his hand, like he said with Colleen. It's like, hey, my hand glows. And it's like, ugh.
Bless you. Mm. Bless you. Oh, friend.
Yeah, like, I want to see Danny using his chi as a weapon, like, which is what he does in the comic. Like, that's why people like his comics. Like,
well, and I get, like, okay, he left Kun Lun against his vow, against their will, against all of that fun stuff. He's still young. He's still an inexperienced Iron Fist. He still has a lot to learn. Like, okay, it took us a good chunk of time, but we've established this, so I'm down with the one-a-day rule, but we're not at one-a-day at this point.
And also, let's see him experiment then.
Yeah.
Like, he mostly seems bored with it.
Yeah.
Like, when he's explaining it to Colleen, he seems legitimately bored by the fact that he has the Iron Fist. Like,
it's like, I fought for it, did you?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see where this goes. We'll see where they go for the last, what do we have, 13 episodes here? So, eight down, five to go.
Yeah.
So we are over the hump. And again, we'll see what happens at this point here.
Danny's over that hump too.
We have captured Madame Gao for some reason. We took it out on the architecture and then she just kind of went without a fight. We have established that the pilots were poisoned by the same poison that hand warriors have, and therefore Madame Gao most likely orchestrated the death of Danny's parents. And now we met
Colleen's master real quick, who was super young.
Was that her master? Was that who that was supposed to be?
I think that's who that was, yeah. I think, like, she was like, I'll always train at your dojo or whatever. Like, he was like, you're getting, yeah. I was like, who's this hipster? Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, it's an ex, or oh, it's a good friend.
No, I think that was her master.
My knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really sad. And the thing is, I watch these, and then I look at the wiki summary, and that scene didn't even come up in Wikipedia. Like, not important. No. Like, wow. You can give me 5 sentences on Ward's state of mind, but this guy's not important. Like, not at all. So, yeah. Just
some hipster.
Yeah.
If we're hipster supposed master. To know him, they didn't do a real great job of that.
No. And Claire establishing herself as the most powerful character in the Marvel Universe.
She is, and I'm enjoying the hell out of that. And extremely resourceful.
Yeah, her last episode's her superpower, which is the fire extinguisher.
This episode, it's the horn and throwing swords.
Horn and throwing swords, yeah.
And occasionally just punching people really hard and somehow not getting hit at all. This is what kills me about that last fight.
She punched the hand henchman.
That's what kills me about that last fight scene. Because we have the Iron Fist, we have the Daughter of the Dragon who teaches people martial arts, and we have a nurse from Harlem who has been learning to defend herself, but does not have near the experience of the people that she's with, up against the 2 chosen personal bodyguards of the head lady of the hand.
Yeah.
And they go down so easily to Danny, I get it. To Colleen, I get it. To Claire, maybe they should have had that fight in the bag just from sheer experience and the fact that they're armed and she's not.
Yeah, they have knife hands.
Well, and maybe powers are transmitted sexually, you know? She got a little bit of Luke Cage in there, you know?
Yeah, just, I feel like
listen, I think this is an experiment that we have to look at.
Yeah. All right, who do we know that has superpowers? I have a master's degree in psychology. That's enough to get a research study. All right, guys.
Like, I thought you were going to say that's enough to be a superpower.
Yeah.
Nah, superhero breeding. All right, that's someone's fantasy.
Yeah, UCLA and USC, which one of you wants to take this?
Yeah, so by the time we end these episodes, we have Madame Gao in custody. We have She Killed My Parents. We have Ward and Joy trying to get their jobs back. Joy more so than Ward.
Yeah.
And we have, I'm going to tell you everything. Wait, I'm hallucinating like crazy because I murdered our father for the second time. Well, he died for the second time, but I caused it this time around. Yeah. And I'm just going to run off like I'm not stable at all, which I'm not. So there's a lot of yanking around going with Ward's character, and I really appreciate that because it's so well done.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm excited to see where they get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we have any final thoughts on these episodes? Aside from, you know, cue up Rolling in the Deep, because we could have had it all.
Yeah. No. I think I got it all, yeah.
Yeah.
You got everything? Chat, if there's anything you think we missed, feel free to throw it in the chat. I know we have, like, a minute or two delay, so it'll be a minute. In the meantime, I'd like to talk to you guys about iTunes. Thank you so much to everyone who went to iTunes, who subscribed to the podcast, who rated us 5 stars, who left us a review. You are the people who keep us on the air as an after show. Our producers do look at these ratings and these reviews and say, oh, yeah, you know, people seem to like this show. Let's keep it. Also, when you do those ratings, it helps bump us up in iTunes search categories. So when people search for Iron Fist, we'll show up closer to the top. And when you leave a review, you get a shout out.
And we do have a 5-star review from HowHigh52. Like that username there. Good listen. This panel is great.
And that's all it needs to be, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. All right. Do we have anything in the chat? Has chat said a thing? Nope, not really. Just having a grand old time.
We can get to predictions.
We should get to predictions. Let's do that. Let's wander into those.
And now, you're after Buzz.
And the light show. Gotta love the light show.
It's all worth it for the light show.
So do we have any coming predictions for this?
Well, I already said that I think the hand is not done with Harold. I think we're gonna get zombie plus one Harold. He's gonna get resurrected again.
Zombie square.
Yeah, zombie square. Double zombie.
Double zombie all the way across the sky.
I really hope we do not get a recreation of the purple man in a box that we got from Jessica Jones with Madame Gao. I hope whatever they do with Madame Gao, it is decisive and quick. Because if it, because what my fear is what it's going to be is they're going to take her and they're going to put her in like Danny's office, and they're just going to keep her there, and like have her tied up to like his desk or whatever, and then they're going to be like, you got to tell us about the hand, and then she's going to turn them all against each other, and it's going to be just like it was with Jessica Jones. And that frustrates me to no end, because I don't think anyone is that dumb with a supervillain. I don't think anyone in real life, out of the three of them, Claire, Colleen, and Danny, the three of them should be smart enough to not get manipulated by her. And I feel that's my big worry, is that she's going to be in Danny's office tied to his desk, and like they're going to be like, come on, old lady.
What office? He's been ousted.
Oh, that's true. Danny's apartment.
She's there because she wants to be. Let's be completely real. She is way too smart, and we saw her wreck Danny. There's no reason she couldn't have done that already.
Yeah.
She is letting herself be taken in, and I am absolutely certain she plans on messing with them. But we've seen Madame Gao be clever before, I want to see how she does it.
Yeah.
So I know you don't want a box episode, but I'm at the point where I really just want to see her messing with people.
That episode of Jessica Jones was the most frustrating.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Because everyone acted like they hadn't previously acted in the series, and it just didn't make any sense. And that bothered me.
Oh, I just enjoyed it because I really do like villain in a box episodes.
Because sometimes
you get really good writing and really good character revelations, and God knows we need them.
I'm okay with villain in a box episodes. I just don't like it when characters act out of character in villain in a box episodes.
True.
In order to serve that. And like with the Jessica Jones episode, a lot of people acted a lot differently than they normally would have. And I'm worried we'll get that here as well.
True.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
And I'm just still worried about Claire. Is like, I know she's supposed to be in the Defenders, but I still think that her death may be what brings them together. And I feel that we keep leading up to that in a way, for having her be sort of this motherly figure to Danny, you know, her relationship with Matt, her relationship with Luke, and unfortunately nothing really with Jessica, but, you know.
Oh, I would ship it. Yeah. I'm down for that. Seriously. Hashtag power couple.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's about all we have for this week.
Do you have any predictions?
Yeah. That was pretty much it. Gao in a box.
Gao in a box.
Messing with people.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Jesse, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. You can see me here tonight doing the S.H.I.E.L.D. after show. Super excited about it. Second episode of the new half of the season. Also on Sundays on Popcorn Talk, you can see me and Zach Wilson and Haley O'Connell. We do Sci-Fi Weekly. We break down stories from science fiction.
And since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And a special thank you to Her Universe for this new Punisher Raglan. You guys can get that on their website at HerUniverse.com.
Awesome.
And also find me on Book Circle Online tomorrow at 6 p.m. for the Comic Book Exchange, where we're talking to some Skybound's creators. We've got Donnie Cates for the new book, Redneck.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the Snapchat at Kia Prime. Samurai Jack is on Sundays. We are off on Easter Sunday. We'll be back the week after that and covering two episodes. Attack on Titan has just started. That's Mondays at 8 p.m. Obviously, we're here Tuesdays at 6. And Arrow is still another week and some change till it comes back. But that is on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Pacific, I believe. I am also a regular on Geek & Sundry's Gather Your Party. That's Friday nights at 7 p.m. And you can catch me in the Just Dance segment. That is twitch.tv/geekandsundry. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hashtag Iron Fisted.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.